Hello, my name is Jennifer Crumley. I am a graduate student at North Carolina State University. I'm finishing up my research. As part of this larger study that I'm doing for my thesis, the study that I'm presenting today is a much smaller part of this, but it still is important for understanding echinacea. So this study was supported by a grant from Amway NutriLite, so we're very thankful for all that support over the course of the past 2 years. So a little bit about why we should care about echinacea. It was, being a native plant, it was widely used by Native Americans, everything from toothache, snake bites, sore throats, and the like. But it didn't really become popular until the Lloyd brothers started talking about it in the mid-1800s. Now, this plant has been reported to support the immune system and to help, nowadays what we use it for is to help people get over colds. When people start feeling the onset of cold or flu symptoms, it's been suggested to go ahead and take echinacea products at that time in order to help, you know, get over it quicker. So this plant is often used in combination with other species of echinacea. Echinacea purpurea, echinacea angustifolia, and pallida are all typically used in combination with each other for herbal products. As I mentioned a minute ago, echinacea angustifolia is native North American prairies, so it likes that rocky kind of sandy type soils. It is an herbaceous perennial, and it does not get as tall as some of the other species, such as purpurea, and it's a little bit slower growing, so it's not going to grow as fast in the field. If you're looking for a fast-growing plant, you might want to look at maybe purpurea if you're looking for, like, cut flowers. And also, this one has a taproot, so it's not going to like to be in really wet soils, or else you could experience some of the plants starting to rot. So why are we doing this research on echinacea angustifolia? It is field grown commercially, but the seeds can be really difficult to germinate. So some previous research was done by Hassel in 2004, and they looked at echinacea angustifolia, pallida, and purpurea, all to determine how seed size might affect the germination rates. And so what they did was they had a couple of sources for purpurea and pallida, and they found that seed size didn't really affect it, but they only had one commercial source for angustifolia and determined that, according to their study, they had a higher germination in seeds that were larger, between 2 millimeters to 2.36, and said that the ones that were below 2.0 were not viable. So as I mentioned before, this is just a part of a larger study. The field study, which you can see in this picture here, is in two different locations in North Carolina, trying to determine how seed source and the growing location affect the growth of the plant and your harvestable yield, as well as the phytochemicals that you're going to find in these plants for a marketable product. So the seed study was conducted to determine the effect of the seed size as well as the seed source on germination and seedling vigor in echinacea angustifolia. There were five commercial sources that were used for the larger field study, as well as one private source. So we had seed from these sources, and so we were able to use two. We chose two randomly from the commercial and compared it with the private. First off, we started with a seed tray study, which was conducted in fall 2013, and we separated the seeds using USA standard testing sieves into small, medium, large, and small was just between 1.18 to 2, medium being 2 to 2.36, and larger seeds being 2.36 or greater. This is just to show you a little bit of what we're looking at for the tray study. It was a split plot design, with the main plot being seed source, subplot seed size, and there were three replications. When when I would collect this data on a weekly basis, I was looking at germination, average seedling heights, and the average number of leaves. And of course, this study was repeated. This picture here just gives you an idea of what each subplot consisted of. In each subplot, or for seed size, there were 10 cells, and each cell had had 3 seeds sown. And so the information was gathered from those 3. On the left, you have a picture of about right after germination occurred. In the middle is about halfway through the study, and then October 30th was the last day for gathering some of this information. Now, according to the statistics run on this study, for seed trait germination, there wasn't really any difference based upon seed size. Rather, there was the main difference was found in seed sources. With the private source not producing as many germinated seeds, which is what you can see out of the average number of germinated out of the 3 seeds. For the average height of the seedlings, again, there wasn't really any difference that was found based upon the seed size. Instead, it was mainly according to the seed source. With the 2 commercials, typically they ran neck and neck. There wasn't really any distinguishable difference between those sources. It was mainly between the commercial versus private. And again, for the number of leaves, there was no difference found, according to my study, among seed size. Now, to look some more at germination, I decided to do a petri dish study with these seeds. There were 2 studies, one in the fall of 2013 and one in spring 2014. It was conducted under a 16-hour photo period for approximately 2 weeks, and data was collected approximately every other day, where germination was considered successful once the radicle was seen emerging from the seed coat. And in order to prevent that seed from being counted twice, it was removed as it was being counted. The design of the study was a split plot design, once again using the same seed sources, same seed sizes, where the main plot seed source, subplot size. Because it was conducted twice, the first time it was with 2 reps, and the second time was with 4 reps, but each time there were 100 seeds per dish. And seeds that were showing any signs of mold were removed as quickly as possible in order to reduce the chance of further contamination. Now on the top 3 are the private source, compared to the bottom 3, which are from commercial source 1. And this was at the very first collection of data. So the small are the ones over here on the left, medium in the middle, and then the larger seeds on the right. And this is commercial source 2, just to give you an idea of what I was looking at. So for initial germination, it was shown that, again, big difference between the sources, but there was a slight difference seen between the smaller seeds and the larger seeds. So for initial germination, it was observed that the smaller seeds tended to germinate faster. However, for total germination at the end of the study, there was no significant difference between the seed sizes. It was mainly, again, the sources, as you can see in this picture, in this graph here. Now, when looking at a little bit more in depth at the private seed source, when we were growing transplants for our larger field study, we had our grower approximate how many of these seedlings were actually germinating. And when we got that information back, he indicated that the privately sourced seeds had the lowest germination rate out of all the sources. However, this source has been used to grow commercial fields, and of course this picture is an example of it growing out in our larger field study. So the low germination could possibly be due to differences in age and the health of the mother plant, or maybe this the seed source just required had higher dormancy requirements. Or it could have just been how it was processed and handled before being shipped out to us. So some of the primary differences, in conclusion, some of the primary differences observed for both studies occurred among the seed sources, with the private farm seed being significantly lower in germination and seedling vigor. There was a slight difference observed for germination and seedling vigor, again, as I mentioned, germination, but it wasn't really statistically significant in at the end of the study. So according to the data collected in both of my seed studies, in contrast to Hassel's study, I was unable to find a correlation between germination and seedling vigor with seed size in Echinacea angustifolia. For some future research, although this study did not indicate that seed size was an important factor, Echinacea angustifolia is still really difficult to germinate. There's still a lot of methods that need to be worked on in order to improve germination. So in the future, possibly a more dedicated seed study with more reps or with more sources would be useful for improving germination and seedling vigor in Echinacea angustifolia. And are there any questions?
Did you observe any correlation between seed size and the percentage of seeds that were removed due to microbial contamination?
That was based mainly on seed source rather than size. With the private source was the one that was showing the most mold problems. The other sources did not really have that issue, but it wasn't. I did not notice any kind of difference. I didn't run a correlation, but I did not notice any difference based on seed size.
And in your germination study, what was your pre-germination protocol? Did you treat it with ethylpollen or?
No, these had been, when we had stored them, we were storing them in a cooler, in a large walk-in cooler. So they had been, I believe they had been dry, under dry cold treatments. But prior to coming to us, I'm not sure how, I think they were probably a dry cold storage.
In our protocol, we used a cold stratification with one millimolar ethylpollen for 11 days, and that really facilitates uniform germination of the Echinacea angustifolia and several of the other types of toxins.
Yeah, and that kind of goes back to with this being only a small part of the research that I'm doing. Somebody doing that was more dedicated to germination and all that, that would be something that they could really focus on.
Well, it's interesting that we found that the stratification worked under light and by stratifying with the under light at 4C, we got that.
Yeah.
Question? Are the seeds
I have not read of seeds being used for anything other than growing plants, but
I think Gaia Herb has a product where they say that they use purpurea seed.
Oh, there you go.
There is some work that's been done to show that the seeds of Echinacea will have different medicinal properties than the roots properties.
So it matters. Seed size matters. Is it more ingredient to extract from it?
Yes.
I have a question. Is anyone looking at Echinacea cut flowers for tea production?
I'm sure that would be something they have probably looked into. I know that they do use it a lot for cut flowers, so All right.
Okay. Thank you, Jennifer.